two speakers tonight that's going to speak for us, Carl Walden and Steve Lund, and I'll leave it up to them which one wants to speak first. So.
Okay, Donna. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not. Oh, about a week or two ago, Randy was talking about Brotherhood Sunday, and Gail and I typically sit behind him, just, you know, how Baptists are, sit in the same place about every time. He turned around and said, "I don't have any speakers. Will you give your testimony?" I said, "I will." And went home, and I was talking to Gail about it. I said, "Did I not just give him my testimony?" She said, "Yeah, you did." And I was trying to remember when I did. It was a few months, it was back in the fall, I think. And Justin, do you remember when it was? And so I'm sure you've all heard it, and my testimony hadn't changed. But I was thinking last night and today about my testimony and some things that, you know, as you get older, you think how you ended up where you are and how you have, you know, the spouse you have and just how you end up at El Bethel. And I think everybody, who has anybody not heard my testimony? Raise your hand. You
I don't know how you came to church.
Okay. Well, make a long. I'm talking in Proverbs today, and Proverbs chapter 22. Like I say, I'm gonna give my testimony. And I like Proverbs. I've always thought if you're raising a young man, if you can read Proverbs, that's Solomon wrote most of Proverbs, and you want to do Proverbs, you go into the next book, Ecclesiastes, he's sort of, sounds more disgruntled in the next book of the Bible, but in Proverbs, a lot of it is straight and to the point, and he talks about how you should raise young men, but there's chapter 22, verse 6, it says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." And how that applies to me, I was raised in the Lutheran church. My mother was raised Baptist out in Salem. My dad, his lineage, he was, to make a long story short about my dad, his mom died when he was 2. His dad was an alcoholic doctor in the coal camps of Kentucky, had nothing to do with him, and shuffled him around from military school to an aunt he barely knew in Asheville. And lo and behold, he met a group of some friends in Asheville. But he always said he was like a buzzard, laid an egg on a hot rock and the sun hatched it. And as he got older in life, he actually found some of his kin people, Waldens from Ohio. And anyway, the family that he got to know in Asheville, believe it or not, took him in at the age of 14 when he was living with a half-sister in Texas. And they were Lutheran. And so he started going to the Lutheran church. So I was raised in the Lutheran church. And if you know anything about the Lutheran church, it's Martin Luther King broke off from the Catholic church. And it's fairly structured. And we went to catechism classes when you're young. I was an acolyte. Loved being an acolyte because you didn't have to sit with your parents. And you sat over the side and wore a robe and got to light the candles every Sunday. You know, they broke off from the Catholic church, but it's a lot still like it. They have their eternal flame. They didn't get that after we quit going, the one in Gail and I, when we got married, she decided she wasn't a First Baptist kind of person, and I knew I wanted to do something besides Lutheran, plus I'd got saved in the meantime. And anyway, but I was raised going to church every Sunday, going to catechism classes, and you have to, whole summer, which is what, as a teenager, you don't want to do, is go to church after school in the summer, but you learn about the Lutheran church and Martin Luther, and then you have to get up in front of the church and recite the Nicene Creed and Apostles' Creed, and you get a certificate. You know, it doesn't make you saved, it just says you know about the Lutheran church. And the Lutheran denomination is a good denomination, but I wasn't saved when I was going, so it didn't stick with me. But my mother and dad had us there every Sunday. I mean, as far as I can remember, until I went off to college. And then I didn't set foot in the church for 4 years except Christmas or Easter when I came home. And I would say that's a whole lot like a lot of college kids we have we see leave our church today, including some in our own. But that was because I didn't. I knew I was doing wrong, but I didn't have that burning desire. But my college roommate was a friend from high school, David Irvin, and he was a Presbyterian, raised in a Presbyterian church in Morton. Same thing, as far as I know, he didn't set foot in church when he was in college, except when he would come home. And we did come home about every weekend. But after we came home, he had an accounting degree. I had three roommates, and they were all accountants, but I was a criminal justice because economics and business calculus put a hurting on me. So I was either going to join the Army or change my major, and I took introduction to criminal justice, and my dad had been a federal law enforcement officer for years till he got hurt, so you would think it would sort of, I would gravitate that way, but I didn't. But I took criminal justice and just loved it, and that's where God wanted me to go. But David was not an accountant. He was a public servant. He knew he wanted to help people, so he ended up going to physical therapy school. But on the weekends, as a young teenager, myself and my dad's relationship was like fire and gasoline. If we talked, it was an argument. Now he loved me dearly, but we had a real harsh relationship, I should say. And he didn't have anybody raise him, so I attribute a lot of that to him. I mean, to his raising. He didn't have anybody take him in until he was 14, and by that time, a lot of it set. And he loved me dearly, but we just didn't get along. And so I spent a lot of time at David Irvin's house. His mom got to where she'd set a plate for me at supper on Friday night, all through college and after college when I went to work. And I remember David coming in one day at his house, and he said he had started going to the Church of God on Drum Street. And they were one of the first that started getting sort of contemporary. And he came in and said, "I'm getting baptized next week." I said, "You're baptized, aren't you?" And I was baptized or christened as a baby, which the difference is that your parents making a commitment they're going to raise you in the church. It has nothing to do with you committing anything. But I didn't realize it. And he said, "No, I need to rededicate myself. I'm not living like I should." And he did that. And that was God's way of speaking to me through David. And then there was a businessman in town named Rudy Bell, who had a couple kids, and one daughter was a few years older than myself. And she had asked her dad, "We need a Bible study for young adults. We don't have one in this town." And you figure this was I graduated Appalachian in 83, so probably about 84. And he started one. At that time, he lived like just one house down from where David Miller lives now. And he started one. And David Irvin he had a gym in his basement, and a lot of us guys, even after college, would go work out in his basement. And he'd come in and say, "Carl, I'm going to this Bible study. Y'all to come." And I said, "Nah." And I was still going, but I was going to church on the weekends because I was living at home then. I'd got out of college and working, and he said, "Y'all to come." You know. And David saw the need. And being a good friend, saw the need in me. And he would keep saying, "You ought to come to this Bible study." And one day he came in and said, "Carl, you ought to come to this Bible study. There's some good-looking girls in this Bible study." Boy, like a rocket, I was at the next one on Tuesday. Miguel wasn't there yet. And there was some young ladies there. They were our age and some older. I knew some of them, some I didn't. But it grew so big that Rudy outgrew it in his living room. David's house, they had a bigger living room, and his mom and dad said, "Bring it to our house." So Rudy Bell brought it to David's house, and it grew. And we met every Tuesday night. And then one summer, Gail showed up, and this other fella had invited her that she knew through Clemson or whatever, and he invited her, and all of a sudden there was blonde-haired and green-eyed Gail sitting there. And we got to know, she had graduated Clemson and applied and was getting ready to start her master's at UT. And we got to know each other during the summer just through Bible study, because we do things on the weekend with our Bible study group, which is real important to having a good group of Christian friends. Then she went off to school in the fall. Well, she came back in the fall, and we went Christmas caroling, the Bible study group. We could walk from David's house down. We went up on the square and started doing Christmas carols. A bunch of young people in their 20s, you know. And we were doing Christmas carols. And Gail was there. And I remember walking back to David's house. I just looked there and said, "Can I call you sometime?" She said, "Well, sure." Well, by the time I got home, I knew where she lived. I thought she's had more than enough time. I called her and asked her out right then. And the next 7 days, we went out 5 times. And make a long story short, she did the spring semester and never went back to UT. And this past today's 21st, past Wednesdays, we started our 31st year. And, you know, so, but going to that Bible study, God spoke to me through what Rudy was reading in the Bible. And that's where I rededicated myself. And I knew the whole time going to college, like I say, David was the same way, but I knew the whole time, you got to commit, you got to understand it. You have to make a commitment and understand God sent his son to die for you. Died, was resurrected, came back to life, and did it all for me, and he did it for me. And there was nothing I could do to get saved except to say yes. And that's when I did it in that Bible study. And the only downside of that is doing it late in life, I had a lot of habits I had to break. And Gail has still been working on those for 31 years. And but with that in mind, Proverbs 19:14 says, a prudent wife is from the Lord. And it says that houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. And so I know God blessed me because of I was able to meet Gail there. There was a reason she showed up there, you know. And in all my days, I always tell people I married up. I always think, you know, why did she pick me? Why did she say yes when I asked her out? You know, and also if you turn to, and I was hoping we'd have some youth, but youth will be up. They're probably getting ready to go. Proverbs 27:17. And I like this. I actually have this one on my phone. It's iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And I found out, and I was Larry and I were even talking today, this afternoon. We rode up in the mountains a little bit, but I have that one on my phone, and it's on a bulletin board at headquarters, down in a little gym at headquarters. And and you have to, especially youth, they need to remind themselves and. Raising my kids, I always tell them, when as you get older, you can count your true friends on one hand, maybe two if you're real lucky. You know, and I went through, and I worked for the city for almost 30 years. And you would think after that minute long, I would have dozens of friends. I have acquaintances. But the ones I can say I could call at 3 in the morning from public safety are about 3 of them. And 2 of them still work there. And one's the chief, Ronnie Rector, and he's a Christian. And I see him once, twice a week, unless we're both busy. And we talk about family and church, and he's a strong Christian. The other one's Keith Bowman, who was raised in Oak Hill. And Keith was like me, got saved later in life. And they have a special place in my heart, and Keith has sent me texts or scripture once or twice a month from a Bible study he goes to. You know, and those are two. And the rest of them are, most of you are sitting out here, you know. And, so being a Christian means, you know, like I say, you're going to have your friends close to your heart, and there are going to be a few. And in Proverbs, I think it's 18:24, also talks about better a friend close by than a brother far away. You know, if you go through life and you can count your friends on one or two hands, you're doing good. And that's my testimony. Like I say, it's... I was blessed. God blessed me with a wife, but going to that Bible study. And actually, 3 different couples we know of got married out of that Bible study. And David was one of them, too. And his brother brought a girl from work to the Bible study, and his younger brother ended up marrying her. And they have six kids now, and I don't get to see him as much because he works all the time because he has six kids. But like I say, you know, and I see Rudy Bell occasionally, and it might be uptown, and I'll always tell him, hey, you know, he took the initiative to have a Bible study at his house. And then David's parents took an initiative to, because they needed a bigger space. And so, you know, just always remember that, you know, and like I say, and I'm blessed with the friends I have, and life is short. You never know. You never know when you're going to meet your maker. And I look back at some of the stupid things I did. And I remember Gail telling me one time, I wish I'd have known you, like in high school or middle school. I said, no, you don't. You would have had nothing to do with me. And I say that truthfully. I would have been one of those guys she would have known. I'd maybe gone out one time. And I was actually sort of scared of girls back. I'm still scared of her a little bit. But for some reason, the Lord blessed me and kept me between the ditches sometimes when I can't believe he did, and allowed me to meet her. And as far as how I got here, David Bean got me here. Ed Bean's son. David's a full-time. David and I were on the same shift. David's about 10 years older than me, and Gail and I just got married. We were on the same shift, and we were looking for churches. It took us about 2 years. We went to churches all over the county, and when we were dating, and she was at UT, I'd go to UT on the weekends occasionally, and we'd go to different churches at UT or around Knoxville. We'd go out in the country to her aunt and uncle's church, and that's the first real little small Baptist church I went to. And I remember about four people got up to speak, and I say, "Is that the preacher?" And she said, "No, is that the preacher?" No. And finally, the preacher get up to speak. You know, the Lutheran church, you know who he is. He's got a collar and a, you know. But it was a great, and I still think the world of her aunt and uncle. I saw them just a few months ago, just wonderful people. But we'd go to different big Baptist churches and little Baptist churches all over Knoxville on the weekends. And so it was a good experience. And then David said, "You need to come to El Bethel," because there was a lot of law enforcement and teachers and nurses. And it's just been a fit. It's been a fit for us, you know. And I always tell people, don't look for that perfect church, because, Lord, you never find it. I mean, you won't find it because it's made up of people, but you're there to worship God, not each other. And we all have to remember that. And we're looking, now that we're going to be looking for a new preacher, I hope he remembers that too, because if he's looking for the perfect congregation, he won't come here, because we're people. That's my testimony, a little more, but that's how I ended up here. And how Gail ended up with me, I should say. Thank you.